Good to see each of you tonight. If you take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Acts in the 19th chapter, I want to read with you the first seven verses. The book of Acts in the 19th chapter, and we'll read the first seven verses. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. I find it interesting that when Paul is coming into the city of Ephesus, that he walks up and sees these disciples. And notice the question he asked them in verse 2. Notice at that time he didn't ask them, "Do you like your preacher?" And notice when he saw these disciples, he didn't say, "Well, tell me about your financial report." And when he met these disciples, he didn't first just go up and say, "Now, which paper would you endorse?" But notice the question he asked was one with spiritual implication. He said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized?" He asked them a very important question. And it was a question that deals with the secret of holy living. The first thing I want to put into our mind tonight was with that question, is he is letting those individuals know that the Holy Spirit was available. And when you read in the book of Acts and the 19th chapter, you'll find those 12 individuals did not even know the Holy Spirit was available. In fact, the business, they replied, they had not so much as heard of the Holy Spirit. So tonight, I want to raise a question. Have you heard of the Holy Spirit? And do you recognize tonight that He is available? If you take your Bible and look in the book of Acts and the 5th chapter, I want us to understand that the Holy Spirit is God. He's not God the Father and not God the Son, but He is God the Spirit. If you take your Bible in the book of Acts and the 5th chapter, notice, if you will, Peter speaking to Ananias. And in verse 3, he said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" If you have your Bible, underscore Holy Spirit. Then, if you will, drop down to verse 4 and look at the latter part of verse 4. In the latter part of verse 4 of Acts 5, he said, "You have not lied to men, but to God." I want you to have in your mind, and I want to put in my mind, this truth that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are the Trinity. They are divine. You have the Father, Son, and Spirit. So I recognize the Holy Spirit is one of the three persons in the Godhood. He is deity. He is divine. Then I need to recognize that He is available. Now, I recognize there are some tonight around Shelbyville and Nashville and other places that preach a lot of error about the Holy Spirit. But I do need to recognize tonight that the Holy Spirit still works and the Holy Spirit still guides. Now, I want to show you how. If you take your Bible, look in the Roman letter and the 8th chapter. In the Roman letter and the 8th chapter, you'll find Paul writing to the church at Rome. And the Apostle Paul lets them know in verse 14 that they can be led by the Spirit. Not in some miraculous way, not by direct operation, but by the Word of God. In the Roman letter and the 8th chapter, look at verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." Now then, how does one become a child of God? How can one tonight be led by the Spirit of God? Well, if you take your Bible, look over in Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, in verse 17, Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Tonight, the Holy Spirit guides us through the Word of God. You remember that the Holy Spirit revealed the truth, revealed the Word to the apostles and those who wrote the Bible. And tonight, He uses the Word to guide us to become children of God. I recognize that the Word of God is powerful because the Spirit of God uses the Word as the instrument in which to guide us. So I need to recognize the Holy Spirit is available to lead one to be a child of God through the Word of God. But that brings up another thought. The first question is, did you know He's available? But now the second question is, have you received Him? Now many people do not understand that question. And many times people will misunderstand and misrepresent that question. I'm not talking about, did you receive some feeling? And I'm not talking again about direct operation that the Holy Spirit overrides your will. But I want you to recognize that one can receive the Spirit. If you take your Bible, look, if you will, in the book of Matthew and the 28th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew and the 28th chapter, notice what is said in verse 18. Jesus is speaking. And Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them," watch it, "in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now then, when Matthew 28, I see that one is baptized in the name or by the authority of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Now then, take your Bible and look in the book of Acts and the 2nd chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts and the 2nd chapter, when Peter is preaching upon the day of Pentecost, you remember when they asked the question about their sin, what shall we do? Peter said in verse 38, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Again, that means by His authority. Now why? "For the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now then, what is the gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, if you look in the book of John and the 3rd chapter, you'll see what the gift is. In John chapter 3, beginning at verse 3, Jesus is speaking. And in verse 3, He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to Him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water," watch it, "and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." I want you to recognize that it is the blessing you receive of being added to the family of God. Salvation. I recognize there are other things one might observe, but I believe that when one comes to God in the faith of God, they've been led by the Word of God, they've accepted the Spirit's Word, they follow God's pattern, then, my friend, they've received the Spirit. What they've done is follow God's pattern, God's plan for salvation, that which the Holy Spirit has given. And they receive the blessing of salvation. And as Paul said in Ephesians 1, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of that. In Romans 8, Paul said that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. But that brings up a third thought in our study. Have you ever stopped to think, if you've not received the Spirit, you've not obeyed the will of God, you've not followed what the Holy Spirit has revealed, then there are some attitudes you have towards the Holy Spirit. And I want to briefly discuss three or four of those in the lessons here. I want you to think about the fact that if you have not received the Spirit, then you have resisted the Holy Spirit. If you take your Bible, look, if you will, in the book of Acts and the 7th chapter. When you come to the book of Acts and the 7th chapter, notice the statement by Stephen in verse 51. And it's a statement that should get our attention. in the Bible, in the book of Acts, in the 7th chapter, in verse 51. He said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit." Underscore resist. He said, "As your fathers did, so did you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now become betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by direction of angels and have not kept it." Have you ever noticed, my friend, they're convicted? It's ironic in Acts 2:37, when they were cut to the heart by the preaching of Peter, they said, "What shall we do?" But in Acts 2:54, when they're cut to the heart, they want to stone Stephen and put him to death. Have you ever noticed, my friend, they resisted the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, they received the Holy Spirit, obeyed the will of God. In Acts 7, they resisted Him. They would not yield to the teaching of God. They would not humble themselves to what the Holy Spirit had revealed. So I recognize that an individual who does not obey the will of God resists the Holy Spirit. But then if you take your Bible, look in the book of John in the 16th chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the 16th chapter, notice if you will, beginning at verse 8, that Jesus had said that it was, in verse 7 He said, it's for their advantage that He goes away, that He would send the Helper. And when you think about the Helper, He said, that is talking about the Spirit. And He says again that He will guide them in all truth. But if you look in John chapter 16, look at verse 8. "And when He," that's the Holy Spirit, "has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Now that's what the Holy Spirit does. And notice what He says in verse 9. "Of sin, because they do not believe Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." That's the evil one. He said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." He's talking to the apostles and these writers. They guide us. The Holy Spirit still guides through the Word. But notice, if you will, my friend, what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts the world of sin. And notice, my friend, He convicts of righteousness and of judgment. It's ironic in the book of Acts in the 24th chapter when Paul is preaching to Felix. It said he preached about sin, self-control, and judgment to come. And you know what Felix did? He trembled. But you know what that man did? He resisted the Holy Spirit. There are people today, they hear the word of truth. They may be convicted. They may fear the judgment. But they won't change their life because they do not believe. And they resist the Holy Spirit of God. I want to know, my friend, have you resisted the Holy Spirit? If you've not received the Spirit, then you have resisted the Spirit. But the second thing I want to bring to your mind is in the Ephesian letter and the 4th chapter. Not only can one resist the Spirit, but one can do something else. If one does not receive the Spirit, one can resist the Spirit. But look, if you will, in Ephesians 4:29. And notice something else. "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not," watch it, "grieve the Holy Spirit of God." Not only can one resist the Holy Spirit, one can grieve the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 30, He says, "By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." He already mentioned that back in Ephesians 1. Then look at verse 31. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Of all people, Paul said in Ephesians 4, that should not have anger and wrath and should be unforgiving, it should be Christians, because Christians are forgiven people. They've been forgiven by Christ. And he said, you ought to extend that to others. And he said, if you have this attitude of wrath and anger and evil speaking and malice, he said, I want you to understand you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That's contrary to the fruit of the Spirit. That's contrary to how the Spirit would have you live. And thus, one can grieve the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought about making sad the Holy Spirit of God? Because you're filled with an attitude that is not in harmony with what the Holy Spirit has revealed. I've often wondered how many people say, I wear the name of a Christian. I come to services. I don't do a lot of these immoral acts. And yet, my friend, their heart is filled with certain things. And I want you to understand that grieves God's Spirit. So one can resist the Holy Spirit and one can grieve the Holy Spirit. But that brings up another thought in our study. If you take your Bible for just a moment, look, if you will, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And when you come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at what he says in verse 19. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 19, he says, do not quench the Spirit. Now I want you to think of that attitude. Here is an individual that puts out. Here the Holy Spirit has revealed the will of God, and here an individual is putting it out. Think about when we lose our zeal to do the will of God. When we lose our desire to be effective in the kingdom. When we come and sit in the pew and just say, oh, 5 more minutes and I go home, and that's how we see Christianity. I'll tell you, my friend, you've quenched the Spirit. If you go to your Bible, look in Ephesians chapter 5 for just a moment. And look at the command God gives us. In Ephesians chapter 5, and notice this is a command. In Ephesians 5 verse 18, he says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. If I'm filled with the Spirit, I'll tell you one thing, I won't quench it. Now look at the very next verse. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're filled with the Spirit, you know what, my friend? You'll sing to the Lord. You ever thought about the expression that comes from our lips when we sing? What I've been trying to instill in my two children is the reason there's not instrumental music and the reason we don't have all the things that a lot of places is because God wants the heart of man. And if I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise the Heavenly Father. I'm going to allow that to be sung from my heart. It's interesting that is right after he gives the command in verse 18. If you're filled with the Spirit, what are you going to do? You're going to sing. And you're going to sing where? From the heart. Sometimes I'm fearful. We have to beg people to sing. And probably some of the time we may not know a song. I recognize it. But could it be sometimes we have to beg people to sing because they're not filled with the Spirit and they don't enjoy praising God? One last thought, my message. I want you to understand not only can one quench the Spirit, but as we just said, one needs to be filled with it. And they need to produce fruit. Look in your Bible in the Galatian letter and the 5th chapter. In Galatians chapter 5, look at what the fruit of the Spirit is. This is what you produce. If the Spirit is planted in your heart, you're following the will of God, you're doing what God wants you to do, this is the offspring of your life. This is what others will see. And you'll notice, and time won't permit it, from verse 19 to 21, he tells us what the works of the flesh are. And he says that you're going to be in a battle in verse 17. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But watch verse 19. But if you are what? Led by the Spirit, you're not under the old law. And he says you're not going to do these things in verse 19. The works of the flesh are evident. But look at what he says down in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Look at that. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You want to know tonight if you have received the Holy Spirit? You want to know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me ask you, are you producing that in your life? Now compare it to what he says about the works of the flesh. Go back to 19. The works of the flesh are evident: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. What does he say? Of which I told you in times past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Question. What are you producing? You want to know if you're led by the Spirit, look at your life and see, am I producing the fruit of the Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Tonight, if you need to obey the gospel and be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're here to assist in any way. As together we stand and sing, we invite you to come.